Well, we're back for season number 4.
Wow.
I know. It's crazy. Me and Mark are back together, and we're going to start a new series of discussions. And it's going to be about following Jesus. It's going to be about discipleship. And we're really kind of like going to start by considering like where discipleship went. Because it seems like somewhere along the way, Christianity has become the most thought of term in terms of like people associated with Jesus, Christian. And I think that Christianity has become something more about belief than it is movement, following, action. So we're going to kind of talk about that drift, like this idea of discipleship, how it's, I think, kind of been diluted in a lot of modern Christianity.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's so. I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think we are oftentimes, you see people who are Christian in name. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, a lot of Americans identify as Christians, but as far as living and following Christ, there are instances where that's not happening to those who identify. So, yeah, I think this is a great topic.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like we have made Christianity a label, whereas discipleship, as we're going to talk about it, is a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. It is a lifestyle. A way that reorients everything you do every single day. It's a lifestyle.
Yes.
And I think Christianity can become just a label or an identifier rather than like something that describes you.
Yes.
And it's kind of funny because in the New Testament, the word Christian is only used 3 times. Acts 11, Acts 26, 1 Peter 4. And it's always a descriptive term. It's not a title that a person's wearing. It's somebody else is describing a group. Mm-hmm. They are people who are trying to live like their Christ, like their Messiah, like their King. Uh-huh.
It's like your label.
Yeah, it is. It's describing them when Christians used in the New Testament.
Yeah.
The word that somebody would use as the label, if I was going to identify myself, put an identity marker on myself, it would be disciple. It's used over 250 times in the New Testament, this word disciple. And it carries this idea of like a follower, a practitioner, an apprentice.
Good words.
Yeah, it's a relationship with a teacher, and I'm the student just like soaking in everything they're saying, everything they're doing. I'm soaking it all up like a sponge. I'm just observing this teacher and trying to take in everything they're teaching me.
Yeah.
And then, you know, trying to model that behavior, trying to live like the teacher. That is discipleship in biblical terms.
Yeah, yeah. And I would even go a little bit beneath that,
okay,
not too much, but and just say that we want to do what the teacher is doing because of our love for the teacher, our gratitude to the teacher, our hope through the teacher, and our knowledge that has come through that teacher.
Yeah, and that gets at the heart of the spiritual reality of being a disciple. You know, because this we're not advocating for a cultural identity. We're advocating for a spiritual reality with this teacher.
Yes.
So it's more than being a person who believes certain things and attends church or identifies with a specific faith tradition. Mm-hmm. This is going so much deeper. This is someone who loves the teacher and wants to follow the teacher and learn his way and imitate his life.
And it's someone who has actually come to the teacher and has sought to change their life inside out, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
So do we come to the teacher, but yet keep living our worldly life and, you know, spending all of our free time watching television.
Yeah.
You know, or what, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So, it's going to beg that question.
Yeah.
If we're really trying to do this, it's going to reorient the way we think about, you know, how we spend our time, our thoughts, our internal dialogue, the way I treat other people.
Yeah.
Like, all of this should... it should cause us to reconsider. Am I doing this in the way Jesus has taught me to, showed me to?
Yeah.
And like Christian isn't a bad term. I don't want to say that, but I just want to make sure we see what this word Christian means if we keep it joined to what it describes, a people with a particular lifestyle, they're discipling.
Right. Right, that's the full meaning, isn't it? And it could be the full meaning of Christian if we would allow it to.
Yes, yes. Yeah, as long as we join back together, believing and following. Mm-hmm. Believing and following. It's not just about believing, but it's you have to follow the teaching.
Yeah.
You have to follow the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
We have to keep those closely together. We cannot separate those.
Yeah.
The first time that Jesus calls someone to follow him, this is from Matthew chapter 4. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, who we also call Peter, and Andrew, his brother. They were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. And you know, I just want us to notice how Jesus isn't asking them to make a statement of belief. He's not giving them a membership card. He is giving them an invitation to just follow me. Come check this out. Observe and consider. Follow me.
And I will make you into something.
Yes, 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 yes. And I will make you into something. And that's so good. That's so good, because he is in one sentence telling them, you're going to leave behind what you think defines you, and I'm going to make you into something better. I'm going to redefine who you are as a person.
Yes,
and it's going to be so much better. And they immediately leave their nets and walk away from the life that they knew, trusting that Jesus has something better.
They actually walked away. They threw down the nets and they followed.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. That is a change.
They moved. Mm-hmm. They believed and followed.
Mm-hmm.
We have to follow.
Yeah.
We have to follow the teacher and his teaching. This is how every disciple journey begins. For any of us who are disciples, this is how our journey begins. It's not just like mental ascent. I believe what you say. It's movement. It's following.
Yes.
It requires that to start on a journey. Mm-hmm. It requires movement.
Absolutely. And the thought that came into my mind is that it would be nice if you change your life to follow the teacher, if you're in with a group that is doing the same, that is, you know, following as disciples, it's possible to get in with a group, I'm sure, that it's a little more shallow, I'll say.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's not a very good example for the new convert.
Yeah. No, I think that's another thing we should be considering as we're like, we're coming to a better understanding of like what discipleship is and what it looks like. Like, am I personally doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's if you realize you're not, and if you realize that maybe the group that you're with isn't practicing this like Jesus expected.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's maybe our responsibility to point that out. if we're coming to that understanding,
yes,
that we've separated belief and following, mm-hmm, and kind of point that out and help others put it back together. I think, you know, if we fast forward from that call, follow me, if we fast forward a couple thousand years to where we are today, most of us did grow up in a church culture where being a Christian, what being a Christian meant is, you know, you pray and you attend services and you try to live decently. You maybe even go on Wednesday nights and do a more in-depth Bible study. And those are all really good things. But those are not substitutes for following Jesus. We can't reduce it to a program or even to a class, like a 12-week, 16-week study.
Yeah.
This isn't an optional second step. Mm-hmm. This is the whole thing. This is it. Yeah. It's the whole reason we're here.
Yeah.
To follow Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, yeah. Yeah, and I think, therefore, it ties into faith and trust and commitment. I think our inner desire to belong to God motivates it.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than saying, wow, I'm not doing much about my Christianity, I'm going to schedule something every week to do. That's sort of checking the box off rather than expressing your discipleship from a heart of faith and gratitude, just the spiritual joy and my changed life.
It is. It's a new lifestyle. Mm-hmm. It is. It's not something you can schedule in. Uh-huh. You know, yeah. Like, how are you going to just schedule in lifestyle changes?
Yeah.
Like if you want your life to change, You have to change your life.
Yeah. Now, I will say that sometimes you want to motivate yourself, and sometimes you push yourself to do things that would be, I wish I could stay home and rest tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, that does happen. So I don't want to knock pushing yourself,
mm-hmm,
to help others at all. No. So I make a statement and then I take it back.
I think a lot of this does come to from like, if we're preaching a gospel that's all about forgiveness now and heaven one day,
mm-hmm,
which both of those are true, but I don't think it's the full gospel. We are forgiven now. There is heaven one day. But like when Jesus was talking about the gospel, he's talking about a gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. It's at hand. The time is now. The gospel isn't just about escape for one day. It's about entrance today. It's about life with Jesus right now.
Yes.
The time is now.
Exactly.
It's at hand.
Yeah.
We have to live like that's true.
Mm-hmm.
We have to live like that is reality.
That is our life, mm-hmm, now.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
He's with me.
Yes.
He is the teacher,
mm-hmm,
I'm spending all my time with.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you could come upon somebody at the register, let's say, at the service station you go to, and for some reason you say something about, boy, it's a beautiful day, it's a blessing of God. Mm. It's because that is you, your life, that is your feeling, and it comes naturally, and there may come times, as a matter of fact, I have had times where it's led to more discussion.
Mm. I love, and don't you love encountering people like that,
yeah,
where it's like,
yeah,
it's just on, at the front of their mind, you know, where it's, you know that God is on their mind just based on the things that they say to you. I mean, it's such a pick-me-up. It's such an energizer to meet or, you know, encounter on a regular basis somebody who's really on fire and trying their best to put all of this teaching into practice. Mm-hmm. It's on the front of their mind.
Yeah, yeah. Or you visit someone that's a member of your church, and they say, "You really uplifted me. Mm-hmm. It was so good that you came today because I was down and out, but now I feel spiritually uplifted." Well, that is you living your life and building someone up mm-hmm. as a result. And it's, even though you took the effort to go, the life that you're expressing is your natural, wonderful life, mm-hmm. your beautiful life now that you are in Christ. And I think things flow better and naturally because of your closeness to God and Christ. It's amazing to me. I've seen things happen that were totally unexpected just because I expressed love, mm-hmm. spiritual love.
Yeah, I mean, that is discipleship, all this that you're talking about. I mean, these are things Jesus taught us to do, like encourage one another, love one another, at the top of the list, love one another. But also, like, supporting each other, serving each other, considering yourself last within the group. Like, that is foundational to the teaching of Jesus and the example of Jesus. That's what it would look like if we're following him. It would look like us trying to serve everybody and encourage everybody within our group, yeah. within our family, trying to love them like I do myself, considering myself last mm-hmm. within the group or the family. And that is the key to greatness, like in great relationships, a great life. It's being last of all and servant of all. Like, that's...
Yeah, yeah.
It's at the heart of it.
Right. It seems to me that you're talking about living that life actively through being purposeful.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, you live it because you feel it and believe it, but you also want to be purposeful mm-hmm. with it. It's a lot of times you say things because you hope it will register. Mm. You believe it.
Yeah.
You're not just running around throwing your hands up, throwing confetti on people and stuff. But and that's kind of silly to say, but you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know that you're talking about Jesus.
And maybe that's why, like, you know, we have kind of separated belief and following. Because it is much more intentional. It takes a lot more energy and,
yes.
you know, and change.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we want everything to be convenient. Like we have a craving for consumer Christianity.
Yes.
You know, I want the forgiveness in the heaven one day. And I want it in a way that's convenient and fast and easy. And it's like following Jesus usually looks slow and hard, and it comes at costly obedience.
Yes.
You know,
but I want the Christianity.
That's not, you want,
along with the worldliness.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, I think it is.
Mm. Jesus wants us to have the real thing. And if we really follow his teaching and live it out, he's promising us the real thing. And he's not promising it's going to be convenient and fast and easy.
Mm-hmm.
But he is promising us real change and our true identity. I think you could kind of boil it down to, like, consumer Christianity is like, what can Jesus do for me? What do I get? What's in it for me? But, like, the heart you're talking about, like, true discipleship is, like, what has Jesus done for me and what does he want to do through me,
mm-hmm.
As I, like, put all this into practice,
yeah.
as I commit to change,
yes,
transformation.
I love that you said, "What does He want to do through me?" That's super.
Yeah, there's a cost also to non-discipleship. You know, there's a cost of discipleship, but I also think you have to kind of weigh it against the cost of not discipling. You know, like, because then, like you said earlier, our faith does kind of become shallow, and you know, our faith might be able to survive comfort, but when it gets conflictual, when there's conflict, there's nothing real substantive there.
I think it is
taking the building on the sand route. It's shallow, it's not durable, it's not even the real thing. Like, you're not even building your relationships, your house, you're not even building it on the real thing. It's just on something that has been promised as convenient, fast, and easy.
Yeah.
So conflict comes and it's like, oh, it all washes out.
Mm-hmm. You go with the flow.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Figuratively.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the stream breaks and immediately the house that's built on the sand falls. And you go with the flow. Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, we have to be doing. We have to be practicing. We have to be apprenticing. Like, you don't do those things without getting your hands on and making attempts at, you know, modeling this the way the teacher has done it. This isn't like an optional add-on. This is the foundation of our faith that will stand the storm. That we've made this lifestyle change where I'm looking more and more into this teaching and trying to see what it is Jesus has for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really trying to be intentional and purposeful about living it out.
Yes.
And as your relationship with God grows through that, I mean, that is a foundation that is unshakable.
Yes. Absolutely.
Your life is being built on God,
mm-hmm.
on the rock.
Yes, yes. And when I mentioned faith earlier, part of what I really meant was what you just said, you're building on the rock. Mm-hmm. And if we know our God, we know His strength and the strength He gives us. We know that we will be helped.
Mm-hmm.
We understand and know His awesome power,
mm.
and His workings.
Yeah,
it's not like I'm jumping out all by myself, and He's looking and saying, "I wonder if what He's going to do today. If He's going to fall down or
see how this goes,
keep yeah. from stumbling the,
yeah.
today."
Yeah.
No, we trust in Him,
mm.
and. I think when we trust in Him and He shows His support, that it really encourages us.
Yes.
I mean, it's not, I'm checking off the box, I've done my part, I've visited somebody, now it's time to go eat lunch, take a nap.
You're having a relational experience with another person all day, every day.
Yes.
And that relationship's growing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's. I think it really will expose you, open your eyes to, you know, how non-discipleship does look easier short term. Just believing, you know, just being a Christian who believes, not somebody who really, like, is taking this all too seriously and trying to really put all this into practice. That looks so easy and convenient and fast. There's fewer demands, you know, fewer sacrifices are required. But over time, I think we'll find that actually costs us far more.
Yeah.
This cost of non-discipleship.
Yeah.
Because it will bring your balance of, like, resilience to zero, your joy, you know, your relational experiences with another person, that is like the best person you could spend your days with. Depth, like you're going to give up all these things if you're not actually following.
Yeah. Your life is meant to be salty, to put taste in what you do, pleasing to God, and good for all around you. So without that, your influence is nil, and influence is what influences the salt that that makes that Christian life fulfilled.
I love that you went there. I mean, because it connects so well to Acts 2. And so, if, like, this is a good, I think, snapshot of discipleship, what it looks like. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to breaking of bread and prayer. All came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who believed, they worked together, and they had all things in common.
Mm. Can you imagine that?
Well, I want to realize it.
Yeah.
They were selling their possessions and their belongings, and they were distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, receiving food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. Mm.
I wonder what that means, having favor with all the people. I mean, that's kind of an active influence, isn't it?
It is. And I think it should really cause us to, like, ooh, let's slow down. And let's, at least consider, like, the influence I'm having on all the people, you know? Mm-hmm. All the people. Am I living in a way that really, like, captures the heart of these early disciples? That this is what they found most rewarding and offered them the best life they could possibly live. And it included these things. And the result is so much joy and generosity and growth. And I think it's because discipleship is central to this early church. Mm-hmm. You don't have to manufacture momentum when people are really following Jesus.
Yeah. Well, I'm really learning some things today, I'll admit. So you're helping me out today.
Yeah. I guess I kind of want to close to, like, with something you said very early on. Discipleship isn't about adding something new to our calendar. We're, like, listening to a podcast once a week.
Although there's nothing wrong with that.
No, No, I enjoy doing it. it's reorienting our entire life around what matters most.
Right.
Following Jesus in our everyday life. Intention, direction. This isn't perfection. It's deciding every day I'm following Jesus. Mm-hmm. And the way I think is going to have to be adjusted. The way I treat people is going to have to be adjusted. The way I use this 24-hour day is going to have to be adjusted.
My attitude is going to have to be adjusted.
Yeah. So many things about our life. Mm-hmm. I'm loving thinking about it. And I'm looking forward to the rest of this season. But we're going to really just kind of camp out on this idea of discipleship. And try to understand it better for ourselves, and just share that with our listeners. So thank you all again for coming in and joining us on season 4, episode 1.
Thank you. God bless.